Good day, everybody. This is Brian Therrien here with Keith Taylor from Modest Needs. How are you today, Keith?
I'm very well, Brian. How are you?
Good. I'm doing great, doing great. Excited to meet and talk to you. I've admired what you've been doing with Modest Needs, and for the audience out there that's just learning, Modest Needs helps pay for smaller stuff, really, with the philosophy so that the bigger stuff and bigger bills just don't accumulate up. Keith, and you know, as you've expressed, which really in your strategy here has helped Americans avoid going into a financial tailspin. So you know, we're here today to learn about how Modest Needs may be able to help people either survive the wait for disability, or maybe somebody's already disabled and they're just, you know, they're stuck living paycheck to paycheck and that. So you've done well. I've noticed that you've been on Forbes, NPR, Fox News. You've been everywhere with this fantastic idea. So thanks for taking the time today.
You just don't know what a pleasure it is to be with you, really.
Great, great. So you know, for the audience, some of the things that you've helped people do is really give small grants, is would be the correct term, right?
That's exactly right.
For such things as keeping a house, paying rent, paying for scooters, even a great story about a down payment for eyeglasses.
That's personally, of all time, that's personally my favorite grant that we've ever made.
Yeah, all kinds of, like, fixing a lift van, legal fees, and so... Let's start with this, if we could, Keith. What is a modest need? What's, like, the smallest modest need? What's the scope of what somebody could look to Modest Needs for assistance with?
Well, that's a great question. In order to answer that, you really first have to understand what our goal is. Really, Modest Needs is an organization that's designed to work with people who are going through a legitimate short-term crisis, as opposed to sort of long-term crises that might be addressed in the longer term, say, by things like disability. An awful lot of our applicants come to us, and as you well know, there's a tremendous waiting period sometimes between, say, the time that you're actually able to file for disability and the time that a claim is actually approved and payments actually begin. Well, in the meantime, what happens to these people who have worked all of their lives, who've done everything that they're supposed to do, and through no fault of their own, they have these very short-term crises? And I'll give you an example of the kinds of things I mean. People who have gone through the whole disability process, everything has been approved for them, and they're waiting for that first check to come, and we know when it's going to come. It's going to come the 15th of next month. But that doesn't matter, because they're going to lose their house on the 1st of next month. And so that's when a person would come to Modest Needs. When we have a definite start date for the disability payments, we know that they're going to be coming in. This can be documented, and we can talk more about that in a second. And there's a short-term crisis that we can step in and prevent that person from really losing everything that they've worked for through a very small grant. And that gets to your question, you know, what is a modest need? We define a modest need for us is really, you know, there is no limit on what is the smallest modest need. I think the smallest grant that we ever paid that I can remember was about $17, and that was for, believe it or not, that was for medication for a person who was pregnant and was on bed rest. She had some trouble with carrying children in the past. She'd lost a couple of children. The doctor had put her on bed rest. It cut the family's household income in half. And they needed help to buy the last dose of the medication that was keeping her from going into premature labor. And that was $17.
Very cool.
And in fact, they did have a beautiful little girl, which is a miracle in and of itself. You think about that for $17. I mean, that's just a good $17
yeah.
investment.
Sure is.
And on the higher end of things, we actually do have a maximum grant, and that maximum is really based on what we're able to do with the funding that we have available. I mean, we do an awful lot of good work, but we don't have, you know, as some people imagine, I think that we have millions and millions and millions of dollars, and the fact is that we don't. So we just have to set a maximum, and that maximum currently is the greater of $1,000 or the amount that a person pays for their monthly rental or mortgage payment. So to give you an example of how that would work, if your monthly rental or mortgage payment were, say, $600, you could apply for a grant of up to $1,000. Now, that doesn't have to be with your specifically with your rent or your mortgage. We do lots and lots of different things, so long as there's not another program that we know of that would do that for you. You know, we don't believe in duplicating services.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's not another program that will do it for you and you qualify for our help, then if your rent is less, that rent or mortgage is less than $1,000, the maximum you can request is $1,000. And it's important for people to know that, unfortunately, we can't do partial payment. So it's important that, you know, they may need help with an expense of, say, $1,150. They only qualify for a $1,000 grant from us. A lot of times, if they can document for us that they have the other $150, we'll help with that $1,000.
Good.
If that's where it was. But it's only one expense. You know, you can't ask for multiple expenses. You can't write in and say, please help with my house, my utilities, my car payment. It's a single expense of less than $1,000 or the amount that you pay for your monthly rental or mortgage payment if it's greater than $1,000. So that's the largest that we have right now.
Okay. That's really good. That's clear. So in looking at the requests that come in, what are some of the common ones? Or maybe you could list, I don't know, could you list 10 of the top most commonly approved?
Sure. We actually, on our website, we actually have the ability to search by cause. And what we mean by cause here is, you know, the type of situation that the person is in. I'll tell you some of the ones that seem to be extremely popular. Accessibility equipment. People, you know, our donor base is very, very happy often to help, say, retrofit a bathtub so that somebody who's newly disabled can get in and out of the bath. It's so funny that Medicare really doesn't cover that, isn't it? Or a wheelchair repair. This is one of the things that I think a lot of people who know the story of Modest Needs and know about me know that I did not train to do this. I was originally a professor and was sort of thrown into all of this. So I was as surprised as anyone to learn that, for example, Medicare will buy a wheelchair for people once every 5 years, but won't pay anything to fix it ever. So, you know, if you have a wheelchair and it's broken, you know, there's not a grant for that, and so we often do things like that.
And by the way, that's not the only questionable policy with Medicare. But.
Well, you know, we won't even go there. Right? we'll stay out of politics.
We only have so much time today.
That's exactly right. But you know, that's a type that our donors seem to like very much. Of course, if our donors can step in and prevent the loss of housing, the loss of utilities, the loss of a vehicle, especially if that vehicle is being used to go to work. That's very important for our donors. You know, our donors are really about empowering people to continue to live with dignity and out of the cycle of poverty. You know, moving expenses, we've occasionally funded those. Expenses that are involved when there's a death in the family, those are some of the most difficult to fund because they're so they're emotionally taxing for us as well as, you know, for the applicant. Temporary loss of income, somebody who has been, and I think a lot of your listeners would identify with this, somebody who had been temporarily unable to work for, say, a couple of weeks. The employer doesn't provide that kind of paid leave. They're back at work for whatever reason, and they're now they're just 2 weeks behind. And, you know, when you're living paycheck to paycheck, and that realistically is 90% of everybody in the world, 99% of everybody in the world, losing 2 weeks' pay is a catastrophe. It's just a catastrophe. So, when you know, temporary loss of income, urgent health care, that's another one that I think people are really, really interested in. I think one of the first grants that we ever made back in 2002 was so that a woman could go and have a lump that she had found in her breast examined because she didn't have any health insurance.
Mm.
We paid $76 for her to go find out whether or not she needed more significant care. It turned out to be benign, but you know what? That's the thing. How would you have known that?
Exactly.
If you couldn't have gone to the doctor. So those, I think those are some of the top types of grants that our donors tend to like the most. Now, that you know, really, it's very much an issue of the personal situation, and that's something that's very important about Modest Needs. We really do read every application. We take every application from the standpoint that we're dealing not with a number, but a real person who's having a real crisis. And we actually, we look very carefully at what we think we can reasonably do to assist that person if that's possible for us at all.
Okay. That's very helpful. Now, how would one apply?
The application process is, we've made it as simple as we can. The one thing that people sometimes find a little bit taxing is that we do all of our work on an online environment. You have to have internet access and at some point, probably, access to a scanner, which we find that most people actually have or can get. But the reason that we do things this way is because, as you know, one of the things that people are most concerned about with nonprofit organizations is the amount of money that we actually spend on overhead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really important to us, too. We are a 4-star charity with Charity Navigator. We have every possible charitable pedigree. And the reason that we have that is because we depend on technology to do work that normally would have been done by multiple state offices, for example. So not having to have an office in every state and still being able to serve the entire United States and Canada and Puerto Rico and the U.S. territories through a website is very, very important to us. So you do have to have access to a computer. You don't have to own one. You can, just as long as you can check your email regularly, check the website regularly. And you need to be able to scan and upload documentation, which is a very simple procedure. We can walk you through it. Most people know how to do that anyway in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the way that you apply, you go to Modest Needs, which is the website, very important. It's www.modestneeds.org, not .com, .org,
mm-hmm.
Right? There's a link that says apply for help. You simply, the first step is obviously to register with us. And once you've registered with us, then there's a link that says apply for help. You click that. Our system will walk you through a questionnaire. And that questionnaire is designed to see whether, before you go to the trouble of filling out an application, whether or not it looks like you would probably qualify for our help potentially. And so you go through that questionnaire, and if in fact your answers to that questionnaire, which is very important that you be honest at that point, because we don't want you to waste your time if for whatever reason what you need is just beyond what we can do. So go through that questionnaire. If all of the answers to the questionnaire indicate that you probably appear to qualify for a grant, you'll be taken to an application form, and you just fill out the application form, and at that point the application process starts for us.
And how long would all that take, somebody with average computer skills?
Average computer skills? Well, judging by the fact that we get about 300 applications a day, not too long.
Okay.
I would say probably, realistically, from beginning to end, 15 minutes.
Okay.
Depending on how prepared you are. I mean, we tell you up front, when you click the Apply for Help button, we tell you what you're going to need. If you take the time to just gather your information before you start the process, really, you can have completed the application very, very quickly, but 15 minutes, all online, completely secure, that's how long that the initial part of the process takes.
Okay. So once the application is in, I can just think of what's going on in some of the audience's mind right now. Okay, can I get this done and keep my house or get my medicine in time, right? So
right.
How can you address that?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, we have a crack team here that is very, very good at processing these applications. Our turnaround time on a new, let's say you put an application in, obviously the first decision we have to make is whether or not that application appears to qualify for our assistance. We turn those around in 24 hours or less. Okay? So we either request documentation from a person, which is part of our due diligence process, or tell a person that for a very specific reason that we can't consider that application as written. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes people get a little overzealous. For example, they don't read the guidelines. This is just so very important. They don't read the guidelines and will ask for a cash grant to themselves, which is something that we don't do.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll ask for 4 or 5 different expenses, which is something that we can't do. And often, that the holdup is really on that end of things, on the user, the applicant end of things. They just haven't been prepared to actually go through the process. They ask for something we can't do. We have to tell them no, and they have to start the process over.
So the key is do it right in the beginning. Save yourself some time.
That's exactly right. Take the time to just do a little bit of reading. All of the information you need is on the website. We've made it as clear as we possibly can. Don't jump right in until you've really read about what kinds of grants we offer, how you qualify for those grants. Make sure you're ready to fill out that application. Do it right the first time, and we can turn that part of things around in 24 hours or less. It's usually one business day. From that point, we request documentation from the people who it looks like qualify for one of our grant types. And this is a really important part of our due diligence process and why donors trust us. I mean, on the Internet, scams abound.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've built a reputation on is actually performing solid due diligence on the persons that we assist. And so for persons who appear to qualify for our help, we will ask for a series of pieces of documentation. And that documentation almost always, there are certain things we ask for from everyone. We ask for a copy of a photo ID, usually a driver's license. We don't ask for anything that's too sensitive. We don't ask for we never ask for social security numbers. We never ask for things that could be used to steal your identity. So you don't have to worry about uploading documents to it. You can even black out things like your actual driver's license number, I believe, as long as we have your name and your address. And that helps us just verify that, we have the correct address for you. Copy of your rental or mortgage payment coupon, your lease or your mortgage payment coupon, which lets us verify your housing cost. Copy of a pay stub, or if you're on, say, SSD or SSI, a copy of your determination letter that just verifies the amount of money that you actually receive per month. And we ask for that for every member of the household so that we know what the accurate household income is. A copy of the bill, the actual bill with which you're requesting assistance. So if what you need is help to install a lift into your van, and you can do that for the maximum grant that you qualify for or less, we just need an invoice, or an estimate from the company that would be performing the work, because that's who we're going to pay if in the end we can make the grant. The person who receives the grant won't actually get cash themselves. We will actually pay that bill on their behalf, and the service will be done for them.
Good idea.
So that way we know where the money is going.
Yep.
And then in most cases, we ask for something called an extenuating circumstance document. Now, let me explain to you very quickly what that is. Some situations are, in and of themselves, expenses that you wouldn't expect to have, like putting a lift into a van. That's an expense you don't usually plan for, right? But there are also, we get many, many requests. Actually, our most common request for help, most common application type, is help with 1 month's rent or mortgage because of a situation that has made it impossible for a person who normally can pay that bill to pay that bill just this 1 month, right? And what we need to know is that we're not looking at a long-term situation, that you can normally pay your rent. It's just that this month you've had an emergency. And so an example of what we might ask for is a true story. We had a person who asked for help with her rental payment because she had a toddler. And as unfortunately toddlers sometimes do, he set the drapes in her house on fire.
Oh, boy.
And so he burned the kitchen out is really what happened. And she was a very responsible person. She had insurance. The insurance covered the repairs for which she was liable. All of that was fine, but the insurance had a deductible, and the deductible was $550. And it turned out that her rent was $525. So in this case, she couldn't pay for both. She already had paid the deductible. She needed help with the rent because she had used the rent money to pay the deductible.
Got it.
Well, in that case, what we need to see is that actually took place. We need to see that, for example, in that case, we might ask for a copy of a fire marshal's report and a copy of the repair order showing that all of this had been paid so that we know, in fact, that circumstance took place. And we actually, what we ask for from each applicant varies from applicant to applicant because every situation is different. And so, that's a really important part of filling out the application for us. Don't exaggerate and just tell us what happened. It's really simple. As long as you just tell us what happened, and you're prepared to upload the documentation that we need to see that those things actually did happen, that part of the application process can happen very, very quickly. This is normally, you had asked about, how long this takes.
Right.
Getting the documentation together from the applicant is the longest delay that we have. Sometimes applicants take days and days and days and days to upload this information for us. If an applicant will simply have the documentation ready and get those things, we don't ask for anything you don't have or couldn't get within a day, you know? And if the applicant will just have that information ready to upload to us, then we can turn that around in a couple of business days. So you're talking about, in the best of all possible worlds, if there are no delays on the applicant side of things, we can get an application in front of our donors from the time that we receive it, two or three days, tops.
Wow.
Right? So it's in front of the donors within 72 hours, maybe 4 days if we have a really big backlog. Right now we're working on a bit of a backlog because, as you said, we've been in Forbes, we've been on the AOL homepage, we're doing a little bit of catching up, but we're just about to open a West Coast office to lighten that load. So, that's going to be a very important thing too. But in any case, at that point it goes to the donors. Now here is where we absolutely lose control over the process. Our donors are actually the ones who make the decisions as to which applications are going to be funded. They obviously contribute to Modest Needs. We give each application a point value that is based on its cost. And so our donors contribute until they have given all of the points that an application needs to be funded. And the minute that that happens, we get a note that that application has been funded. We cut the check and mail it to the applicant the very same day. But basically, that sometimes that happens in hours. We have seen applications that were really wonderful applications be funded the very day that they were posted, and we've seen some for relatively small amounts of money that took sometimes 10 days to receive the funding that they needed. That's not something we can control or predict. It's really about the preferences of all of the individual people who are contributing to Modest Needs.
I want to make sure I understand this part. Clever idea. So once an application is put up in front of the donors, I see on your site there's a scrolling list of different, it's kind of like eBay when something's coming up for auction, I would liken it to, right?
Right. That's actually a good comparison.
Okay. So donors can come in and they can take a look at all of the potential grants that are being requested. So here's what I'd like to understand is, if you have, I don't know how many donors you have, but I know you have lots.
Mm-hmm.
Is it their responsibility to come in and periodically look?
That's a great question. We actually, in the past, that's how it's worked. And one of the things that we found is that a lot of our donors, as well-intentioned as they might be, sometimes just didn't have the time to go in and look at all of these different applications. So we recently added a component to our website that will allow our system to what we call auto-allocate the points that donors accumulate. So what happens in those cases is that donors select preferences. Say, I really like funding independent living grants, and these are the types of specific causes that interest me most.
Mm-hmm.
Every night, we run a series of processes in the background. And one of the things that we do is we go through every donor account and we try to match every donor account to an application that they've never invested in before that matches their preferences. If we can't find anything that matches their preferences, the last step, and I would say a solid 99% of our donors say this is okay with them, is if we can't find an application that matches all of these criteria that you've set, can we just give some of your points to the application that's closest to being funded anyway? And almost all of them say yes. And so really the funding can happen one of two ways. Either donors will go in. There are some donors who want absolute control over what they do, and that's totally understandable.
Mm-hmm.
It's their responsibility to go in, select the applications that they want to fund, and make those things happen. On the other hand, we have the option for donors to set their preferences in our system and let our system make the allocations for them based on the preferences that they select. But one way or the other, that's how the applications actually are funded.
Very cool. Wow.
And so it's good. It's good for the applicants because, of course, one of the things that our donors see, and of course, your audience can look at this too, on that scrolling list of applications. I mean, we've got the top five right there on the homepage, and there's a button that says "Learn More" or "Invest Points." Now, listen to this, okay? This is the beautiful thing about Modest Needs. We're sitting here talking. The number one application with the closest to being funded is it's called Friend Died Caring for His Children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? While we were talking a few minutes ago, this application needed 73 points to be funded.
Mm-hmm.
While we were talking, that dropped to 13. That person's going to be funded by the end of this interview.
So, yeah, I'm just refreshing my page here because it was at 73. Yep, perfect.
See what I mean? And
that is really neat.
And that's how this works. So it happens in real time. And the beautiful part of it for the applicant is that we, you know, you don't have to wonder about what's happening with your application. You can actually track as an applicant everything that is happening to your application in real time.
Okay.
From your personal page. So you get email updates every day about what your current point balance is, how many more points you need to be funded, if you're close to expiration. We communicate constantly with our applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of that is automated because it has to be. But, we want people to know where they stand, exactly what's going on, so that if it happens that we can't help for some reason or it looks like we may not be able to do it, they can start to make other plans. And that's very important, too. You need to know where you stand in the process.
So is it possible for, help student with rent, this one that I see in San Jose, 83438, that once this is in here, whoever the applicant is, they say, listen, could they say to somebody, come on by modestneeds.org and kick me across the finish line by investing some points?
Well, theoretically they could do that. We try really hard to discourage people from going out and, say, posting information about their specific application all over the Internet, because what that does is create the appearance of cyber begging. Okay?
Got it.
And that's something that our donors strongly discourage. If they find out that somebody, say, has gone on to Craigslist and try to solicit contributions for themselves, they will almost automatically, they won't only not invest, our donors have the opportunity actually to go in and divest their points. In other words, they can take points away from applications that they've previously given some points to as long as the application hasn't been funded yet. We find that if they discover that that's the case, they will actually go in and take points back. That's something our donors look very, very, they look askance at that.
So just let the process unfold.
Let the process unfold. And, I'll tell you something. Right now, I'll tell you where we're going. A lot of times people wonder, okay, really, really, what are the chances of being funded? I'll tell you what they are right now at the moment. And this is pretty good for a small nonprofit. Now, you have to keep in mind that our whole budget is still under $2.5 million a year. So, when you compare that to organizations like the American Cancer Society with a budget in the billions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about a very, very small amount of money when you're trying to reach a lot of people. We're still funding close to 50% of the people who qualify for our help. That's it's a 50-50 shot in the end. But that changes as more people contribute. And so, of course, the more people that contribute, the better the chances are that people will get the help that they need.
50-50 is good. That's good.
50-50 is better. It's better than, the most important thing to remember is that it's not like a lottery. It's not like you have, a 50-50 chance. The truth is that if you come to Modest Needs and you place an application for assistance that fits our guidelines and our donors understand why you need this help, you have more of a 90% chance of getting it.
Okay.
The ones that tend not to get the help are people who come in and either, our policy is generally one of non-interference. We have certain types of grants that we just won't put forward for our donors to look at because, frankly, in the past, we've seen some pretty ridiculous things come across our screens. But, we won't even get into that. But generally, our preference is to perform our due diligence and let the donors decide.
Okay.
And if you come in, here's an example. Let's say you need a bed, right? A bed. You come in and you ask for a simple mattress and box springs that can be bought for $285 or $300, which would be a cheap bed, but it's a bed, right?
It's a
bed. You're going to get that. If you come in and you ask for a California plush king with, all of that, it costs $1,000, our donors are going to look at that and say, you're just greedy.
You're over the top.
You're over the top. What are you thinking?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to give you anything. And so really what you're finding out is not that, it's a 50-50 shot. It's that our donors found about half of the applications that qualified for our help to be so worthy and deserving of their assistance that they immediately went in and funded those. And so that's really what that means.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about the contribution end of this, because this is a fantastic cause, and I know that there's a lot of people in the audience that, you know, probably saying, well, this is great and all that. Probably there's a lot in need, and there's a lot of people out there on fixed incomes, but, you know, I think that together we might be able to make a difference, and if people could contribute a little bit, which I don't know what your limitations are,
mm-hmm.
It would be a great thing for people to be able to make a difference. So let's talk about that. What, as far as a contributor, mm-hmm. Are there limitations? What's the least amount?
That's a great question. Unlike a lot of nonprofits, we don't have the lower limit, the smallest contribution that we can physically accept because of the limitations on our own accounts,
mm-hmm.
is $1. Okay, and that is the lower limit, $1.
So somebody could do $1 a month, $12 a year?
You could do, yeah, $12 a year if you wanted to do it, right? And, of course, you know, people who make recurring contributions, this is a whole different thing that we should talk about, but we actually operate under a very generous matching grant. So what that grant does, you know, a lot of our donors, in fact, almost all of our donors, don't come and give just one time. They choose to make a small monthly contribution, maybe $5, you know? At 5, 10, 20, the average hovers around $1 a day, at about $30 a month. But for some people, that's just out of reach, and we have an awful lot of donors who give $5 or $10 a month. Well, because of the matching grant, that amount is actually doubled. So the $5 that you give nets $10 for us, and you get to spend your 10 points just as if you had given $10 instead of $5. So you get to go out there and help some of the people who are in the very same situations that perhaps either you've been in the past or maybe you're in right now. But what's important to remember is that, you know, Modest Needs is a, you know, beyond the grants that we make, which are very, very important grants and a cause that really we're the only nonprofit that works to address, beyond this, the point of Modest Needs is to build not just a sense of community but a sense of philanthropy among people who really didn't think they could be philanthropists. Because, you know, to me, you know, back in the day when I heard that word, philanthropy equaled Bill Gates, right?
Yeah.
And that was, you know, you had to have big money. Well, what happened, the reason Modest Needs started is that simply I just realized one day that, you know, because I've been in these situations too. We've all been in these situations. And, you know, hopefully most of us had a support system where someone could help us, a friend, a family member, someone could help us. Well, you know, what I realized is that none of the people who ever helped me had been wealthy. They had just been compassionate. And that is what philanthropy means. Even the very word means compassion for people. And so it's important to remember that it really is not about how much money you have. It's about what you do with the resources available to you. And if you're willing to take $5 and, you know, help out somebody who is, you know, even if you're in need, you're willing to pitch in a little bit for somebody else that's in need, you know, together, you know, if you think about it, in the couch cushions of America is more than the fortune of Bill Gates.
Mm.
You know? Mm. All we have to do is pool those resources and do what we can to help each other.
Yep.
And I think that that's one of the most important parts of Modest Needs. You know, about 70% of the people that we've helped have ultimately, even people on fixed incomes, have ultimately become donors to Modest Needs, and most of them stay for at least a couple of years before they either discontinue their contribution. But in the process, those people have actually, the people we have funded, and in some cases, people we haven't funded, have ended up funding hundreds of other people just like them. And that is what's important about this organization. It is not about one or two wealthy people doing what they can for people who, you know, are beneath them in some way or who don't have their resources. It's about regular, average people proving every day that every person has the power to change a life.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. I mean, so what you're saying is if somebody can give a dollar and they can do it every month, they really could give and have a $2 impact because it's matched, right?
That's right. That's exactly
five
right.
Five is ten. So, you know, a buck a month, $24 a year, you know, that would have funded this gal's medicine, so you can make a difference for
them. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you think about it right now, I mean, let's see how the guy is doing from Omaha, right? I mean, this guy needs 13 bucks, basically, 13 points to be funded, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I don't know how many listeners you have, but we could have funded that with the pennies on our dressers
sure.
a few minutes ago. and this guy would be in good shape. You know, that's what we really need to do, I think, not just, and this is not just about giving to modest needs. This is just a mindset. That is how we need to think about our ability to impact other people's lives. It is not about having a great deal of money. It's about caring enough about other people that you're willing to share just the smallest part of whatever you can do. No contribution is small. There's no such thing as a small gift, is there?
Fantastic. No. They all add up. They make a difference. So.
That's right.
So what we'll do at the end for the audience here is we will put the links to modestneeds.org so they can come on over and check it out and get involved.
Well, that would be great. We certainly welcome your audience, and the impact that they could make is really just immeasurable.
Yeah. Well, listen, in closing, good for you, Keith Taylor. I mean, what you have done here in championing this is just, it's remarkable. The technology, the cause, the way it's all put together, great job.
Well, thank you, Brian. Thank you very, very much. It means a lot that you would ask me to come and speak to your audience, so I'm very grateful.
All right. You're welcome. You enjoy your day.
You too. Now. Bye-bye.
Bye.